join us here at Newton Abbot Racecourse on Tuesday the 29th of August. It's 5:46 and beautiful sunrise behind me, as you can see. Simon and I are here just about to go out and walk the course prior to our evening meeting here at Newton. The ground's currently described as good to firm in places, and we're just going to make sure that the water that was applied to the course yesterday hasn't all disappeared in that blazing sun. Yesterday we had temperatures of approximately 23-24 degrees, and so hopefully the water we put on, and the boys put on yesterday, they worked pretty hard old morning yesterday, hard day. So obviously we're running around assessing the going. Clark's courses are now guided by the British Horse Racing general instructions that we have to give a going assessment, not only based on our trusty stick, which Simon has and he's using brilliantly, but we also have this thing. It's a going stick, which you may have heard of. We will take readings at approximately 40 points across the course, from the hurdle to the steeplechase course, and it will give us a number. That number relates to a going description, and then across the course it will give us a final assessment as to what it thinks the going is. And by and large, it and I tend to agree. We don't have too many arguments, and we're duty bound to provide that reading to the racing public on decoration morning, so that was yesterday morning in the case of today, and this morning. So that's what we're doing. We're doing a go around. So in the case of the going stick, what we'll end up doing, for example, I'll just give a brief demonstration. We will push the stick into the ground once, then pull it back twice, pull it back three times, and pull it back. It will then give us a reading. So at this position, waypoint 7, you may be able to pick that up, it's telling me it's 6.6, which I would assess as good ground, essentially. And I would concur with what I sort of feel. Sort of, you obviously get a feel for it over with experience, but I'd assess this part of the course, this is the part of the course adjacent to the riverbank, this is good ground. Steeplechase fence, there's a second steeplechase fence in the back straight. There are 7 steeplechase fences on Newton Abbot, and 1 open ditch, which is the next one on, 5 planes and 1 water jump. The fences are renewed on a rolling cycle, so 1 year we'll rebuild 4, and then the next year we'll do 3, and so on and so forth. So the birch in this fence was actually rebuilt last year. There'd be, just as a sort of rough guide, there'd be approximately 300 bundles of birch in the main chassis, by which I mean this part of the fence. There's like 300 bundles of birch in that. Birch costs around £5.50 per bundle, so you're looking at well in excess of 1500 quid in that part of the fence. And then there's probably about 500 quid's worth of birch in the apron. That's the bit that sits in behind the guardrail. So every other year you're spending around £2,000 to renew the birch in the fences. So you can see it's obviously quite a costly exercise when one rebuilds a fence. Birch is sourced, comes from the southeast. We buy it from a chap in the southeast, grows nice and straight over there and packs in to make quite nice fences. And the importance of a fence, from our point of view, it's always nice to have a decent belly on the fence. So a decent, you may have often heard people talk of the belly. This is the belly or the apron. And it's nice to get a nice bit of shape on that, just so it just gets the horses to stand off and not jump too low and flat. And by and large, touch wood, the horses do seem to jump our fences quite well. I hope I haven't jinxed this evening's efforts, but that's the second fence in the back.
Okay, so what's the next job then, Jason?
Right, okay, so we have just updated the going, and we've left things as good to firm in places. Simon, I'm very pleased to say, is extremely happy with the going description given. He's been invaluable in ascertaining that. We report the going on our going certificate, okay? And this is produced to the stewards on the race day. So I've obviously had to make entries at various points. A week before, I give the going for entry purposes. Horses are entered 5 days prior to the race day. And then any changes throughout that week, we keep the going report updated so that trainers are aware of how the ground is changing, whether it's getting wetter in the winter or in rainy period, or whether we're irrigating and what our plans to irrigate are. As I say, we've given the ground as good to firm in places, and that has been reported on the admin site, and the stewards will pick up on that. And now people, trainers all around the country will be looking at our website this morning, or the administration website, and making their final plans for their day's travelling. A number of other forms that we have to work with, we get sent down from the BHA a microchip checklist, so all horses are microchipped and they're checked back in accordance with the records that are maintained at the BHA. Passports required, some passports are required to be checked on race days, horses that are having their first run for a trainer, first run after a layoff, number of reasons, but they're all checked, and they're checked upon arrival at the racecourse by the BHA security team. My team of staff are sort of all allocated their fence to work on. We have a team of three staff who are primed to put into process a bypass procedure should we have a faller at a fence or a hurdle, and also to put the ground back, reinstate the ground. So they'll be forking and treading the track back in between races. And on each fence also, we have an individual who's allocated the role of horse catcher. They'll be wearing some sturdy boots, a hat, a skull cap, and they're there to assist in catching of loose horses. The nature of Newton Abbott being such a narrow track, it's important that we catch a loose horse before it can become a problem a few minutes down the line when it's going back the opposite way against the field as they come round the bottom bend. So we need to put into process procedures that would take that issue away as far as we possibly can. Obviously, loose horses can be troublesome at the best of times. We have our work regarding our roster for doctors, vets and paramedics are all in place, and they're put into place before the season's even commenced. So we know that we're using our paramedic service. We'll have three ambulances on site, we'll have three doctors on site, we'll have a first aider at each fence or each obstacle, and we'll have three equine vets, as well as the BHA veterinary officer. We'll have three veterinary surgeons that we employ as a course to look after our equine athletes on the day. And the final aspect of that would be our horse recovery service, where we have an ambulance which can pick up recumbent injured horses off of the track and take them back to the stables for further assessment. So this, we've got lots of bits of kit which are important to the job that we try and do, but none more so than the irrigating machines. You see here we have two of them. You may well have seen these irrigators in use on race courses, but this sort of irrigator is used extensively in market gardening and market garden arrangements. And the boom, which is the piece of aluminium or steel on the back, opens up to give a 26 meter span, and you see on the, these are the sprinklers, so the boom is opened up, chocked, and then the tractor pulls away from the boom, and that hose reel then unreels and will travel 220 meters down the course, at which point it's plumbed into the irrigation or the water, the main water system, and we irrigate from the river. And then it's pulled in, it's retrieved, and we can either slow it down or speed it up, dependent on how much water we wish to apply. For this meeting today, last week, last Friday, we applied, or parts of the course had as much as 26 millimeters, the home straight, which is traditionally the quickest part of the course, and the rest of it had 10 millimeters last Friday, and then we irrigated the course entirely yesterday with between 10 and 7 millimeters, and we've sort of, that's how we've come to achieve the grind that we have, which have given us, as we've said earlier, is good and good to firm in places. It's a two-man operation to water the track, and to put on 7 millimeters of irrigation takes approximately 6 to 7 hours, dependent on moves and other idiosyncrasies. But essentially, both machines work concurrently, so one will work in the home straight, one in the back straight. As you move the one down the home straight, the one moves down the back straight, and they just basically move opposite each other. And as I say, 6-7 hours, we can put on approximately 7 mil, two-man operation to do so. So it's quite an labor-intensive operation for a small team, which we have here at Newton. There's myself, Stuart, my senior ground staff member, Wayne. Wayne and Stuart have been here collectively for thick end of 25 years. Stuart's been here for about 18, Wayne for about 7. We supplement our full-time staff with one casual member who starts at the beginning of our season, so we have him on a 6-month contract. We have Richard in the stables, and during the season Richard's in their stables mucking out, rebedding, keeping the parade ring spick and span. And we have a maintenance maintenance manager in Colin Bushin, and Colin's responsible for the fixtures and fittings within the buildings. And then after racing, we'd have approximately 14 to 15 casual crew that come in for treading, and they assist us, and we go out treading with them, and then we'll fill the course after we've lifted and trod back and fought the course. Then we move all the rail, all the bends get moved between each meeting. So there's approximately, you've seen us moving a bit of rail this morning, there'd be approximately 3/4 of a mile of rail that we move for each meeting. So between now and Saturday, when we race next on the 2nd of September, we'll have had to move thick end of 3/4 of a mile of rail. We'll obviously move the hurdles. Fences will get knocked back, trimmed up, patted back, repaired. And obviously the ground will be reinstated. And obviously the track needs to be mould. So there's a fair bit of maintenance to go on between each meeting. And obviously with meetings only 3 or 4 days apart, time is key, really. So a number of years ago, for about 4 seasons now, we've had the rubber padded hurdle. These are traditionally filled with birch, just as a steeplechase fence is filled with. But yeah, as I say, a number of four years ago, we trialled them, and we've had them ever since. And it's been our experience, and now the experience of, I think there are 7 courses now that have the rubber padded hurdles. The horses, anecdotally, seem to be jumping them an awful lot better. The small injuries, lacerations, cuts that we've seen to horses' forelimbs have reduced. And as a consequence, you know, from an equine welfare perspective, which is why they were introduced as an idea to try and improve that, those statistics, they've been a success. As a byproduct of that, the number of breakages of hurdles that we see are significantly reduced. The pad seems to have the effect of dissipating that energy from a horse hitting the hurdle across the whole 6-foot board. And as a consequence, you know, the breakage, the impact on the horse's legs is significantly reduced, and the impact on the hurdle is significantly reduced. And we're seeing less breakages. The horses seem to be faring better because we're not getting as many. It was never a major problem, but we were, you know, horses were getting cuts and nicks, which was ruling them out of work for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at a time. Energy level drops off a bit, and they weren't able to compete possibly as often as they might have been. So they've been, we find thus far, been very successful, and we've been very pleased to have them. Okay, so in recent times, over the last 18 months, race courses have gone through the process of re-measuring and re-calculating race distances as we're advertised, or as we advertise, and we also to reflect the changes that rail alignment makes to the race distances. And this morning we're here, we're just moving the final bit of bend, and in fact we're actually taking our rail back to its baseline positions. That is to say, 18 months ago the course was re-measured, and all the steeplechase starts, all the hurdle starts were measured at the rail's innermost or its baseline position. Thereafter, as we move rail out, it has the effect of increasing race distances. And at Newton Abbot, for example, this bend here, the bend out of the home straight, for every 2 yards that this rail is moved out, makes a difference of 3 yards for each 2 yards moved out. So effectively, if I move this bend out by 4 yards, it increases the distance by 6 yards. And bearing in mind, they may go around this bend 3 times in a 3 mile race. There's 18 yards just on this bend, and with a bend, with 4 bends essentially. So one can see how rail alignment affects distances to some extent. When we are pushed to its widest configuration, it can make the difference of well over 150, 160 yards here at Newton Abbot. So it's obviously important that we do remeasure or reflect that in our going assessments. And your readers will have seen on numbers of occasions where in the racing post they'll carry the going description for the day, but they'll also include detail about rail alignment and differences made to race distances.
Okay,
so we're now 3:30 in the afternoon. We are an hour away from the first race. We've just walked the course with the chairman of the stewards, Alistair Scrimshaw. We've confirmed that we're happy with the ground assessment as we are at the moment, good to firm in places as it was this morning. As a bit of background, we had a heavy dew, you recall, this morning, and whilst it's quite pleasant now, that sort of moisture has hung about, and I don't think there's a material change in the ground from 6 o'clock this morning. As I say, first race gets underway at 4:35, 7 race card, concluding with a bumper. 56 runners, which for us would be happy with. The novices chase slightly is a weaker race in terms of numbers, only 3 runners, but quality wise we've a nice horse in Alcala, who's won 3 here this season, won summer plate market raising. So whilst you lose something a little bit in terms of the numbers, in terms of runners, the quality is there, and the rest of the cards held up pretty well. So hopefully we'll have a competitive racing free of any significant issues, and everyone has fun and goes home with a winner or two.
Access all areas under Charlie Hammond steadies and overtaking very well and the back seat to Lewis Gordon, and also getting rid of jockey at the back of the field, Sydney Winkle, as out in front, Access all areas leads down towards the final fence by 5 lengths. Access all areas and overtaking. He gets ready for it, he's now starting the ball, having it. He's left it far to make it second, and third and back in third. It's Access all areas to make all. He's going to play Davis and Charlie Hammond.
Okay, so we're halfway through the day now. We've just had the feature race, the novices chase, won by Alcala in good form. I mean, he's been a bit of a stand-in this year at Newton Abbot. He's won, that's his 4th win at the track, and he won at market raising, so probably quite predictable, but he was made to work for it by Colin Tizzard. So far, feedback on the ground is that it's, yeah, good to firm ground, a mixture of them both really, which is to be expected. You know, we irrigated yesterday, which we've talked about earlier on, and the ground throughout the day is probably just pitched off. It's not overly hot, but there's a breeze, and it's just, yeah, pitched off a touch. But there's good covering of grass, and by and large, people are happy. A couple of non-runners, one's on the ground, the rest are on various other issues, from travel to self-certificates. So, touch wood, the rest of the day continues in the same vein. Got touching race for us today now. I'll just talk briefly about that because we've got a race named in memory of a young lady who used to work here on the race course, Lauren Scott, who was tragically killed earlier part of this year. So the mood will change a little now, I'm sure. A very sober moment, but hopefully the rest of the evening goes well and people have a moment to reflect on Lauren. Hopefully you've enjoyed your day here, Simon, and learnt a thing or two about what we try and do. End of really, over and out. Hope we had fun.
Oh dear.
And the bus turned out.
Hey Jason, 7:45 p.m. now. We're pretty much back to where we were. A day at the race has just finished. How's it gone?
Yeah, it's been a good day. Four non-runners on the night, one on the ground and the bumper. And the ground, as we sort of felt all the way along, was generally good, good to firm in places. And trainers happy. And pleased with the day. Jockeys, horses, we're going home okay. So here we go, we've sort of been more than 12 hours now, and it hasn't quite finished, as you see there. Just pan around a bit. Stuart's just going to get out and mow the track, and the reason he has to do that is because they give rain tomorrow, and the track's long enough that if we end up mowing it in the wet, we'll end up with lots of mess and grass cuttings, clippings, staining, great big lumps. So we have to get on and mow the track tonight. The place will be tidied, we've got a sweeper in, we'll empty all the bins, and we'll leave ourselves with forking the track tomorrow, so the track will be forked by the team tomorrow. If we can, we'll give it a light roll, and then we'll fill it on Thursday, that is to say, we'll fill it with divot mix and seed into any of the holes that remain. Bins to be moved Thursday, Friday. Herders will be put back up again on Friday. Fences will have to go around the fences, square the fences up, trim them off. And that's not even thinking about watering. I mean, if it rains, we should be okay. But if it doesn't, we might end up having to irrigate for Saturday. So it's a sort of a treadmill we're on. And hopefully we can provide some decent racing ground for a good competitive day of racing on Saturday. Got a good card on offer, over £100,000 worth of prize money. And hopefully get a good take up and plenty of runners.
Brilliant, and thank you very much for having me all day.
Thank you, Simon.
Follow our top sporting brand ambassadors, Davy Russell, Sylvester D'Souza, and Ryan Sidebottom for their exclusive news, views, and tips on all the major events with blogs and vlogs at starsportsbet.co.uk. BeGambleAware.org. Over 18 only.